And welcome to the HalfGuarded.com Power Hour. Is that the name of the show?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Welcome. We're in the midst of March Madness Sunday. The first of many great spring Sunday sports times. It's a weird way to word that, but we're at the beginning of spring sports season, and it's a lot of fun now that I'm back in it.
Yeah, we're almost in that part of the year where there's a little bit something for everybody. Where you have the baseball, starting up so that if you're white, you have that.
Or golf.
Yeah, the Masters is right around the corner, right?
And if you're rich and white, you got prime golf.
Yeah, and then you've got you've got the Stanley Cup if you're a white supremacist.
Mm-hmm.
And then
basketball.
And then if you're just a mildly racist person, you've got March Madness. Mm-hmm. And then if you like blacks, there's the NBA finals are starting.
Yeah. Or the NBA playoffs. That's the HalfGuarded.com official guide to spring sports. So check
based on how racist you are.
Yes. Check your racist. And of course, there's MMA, which is for everyone year round. Because we all love MMA at HalfGuarded.com.
Sure. Yeah. MMA, the only sport for people who aren't racist.
The first post-racial sport, really.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Because, there's some black guys in the UFC. Greg Hardy, John Jones.
There's some Latinos, at least.
That's true. And
they're all Brazilian, which kind of feels like it doesn't count, but still.
Well, there you go. Are we HalfGuarded.com's leading racist podcast?
Sure, we're monitoring the racial issues of our time.
I'm looking over at the Peach Machine show, which I know is not the name. Was it Cum Nation?
that's not good. That feels way too much.
We need to rip that off. Cum Nation. He's rebrand. But yeah, we're in March Madness. Dad, you've seen none of March Madness. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've been working really hard. This has been a crazy week at work.
Yeah. So have you followed anything, though? Is there anything that's kind of shocked you, like Virginia winning?
Virginia not being embarrassed is always a shocker to me.
Yeah. Because they almost were for a half. They were down, six at halftime? Last year they were tied at least.
Yeah. I mean, with Virginia fans, the main thing I know about them is that they always expect that this is where they're gonna ruin it all and everything will fall apart.
Mm.
They just always expect it.
Are they playing today? Everyone else, yeah, the whole second round's done by today, right?
Yeah.
I think so. Because I don't think they play they don't play until Thursday after this.
Sure.
So how March Madness works.
I do know that everybody was mad at the Twitter account for the NCAA March Madness because
from the tweet from 2 years ago.
Because hey, we give them free Wi-Fi. We gave the slaves an extra share of buckwheat this time.
I didn't pour brine on their backs after I whipped them. I'm a good slave owner. That's the NCAA the liberal slave owner. In the Deep South?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that guy who's y'all need to be a little bit nicer to your slaves. he's looking to, reform.
Yeah, he's looking to reform. Hiring...
Or making
all the
more
overseers
inclusive.
Are women.
Or making it, more inclusive, so there's, an Asian slave, and there's, a Chinese slave or something.
Why does it always have to be African slaves?
Yeah, let's be a little more inclusive. He's got Irish working in there.
He lets his slaves read the Bible, and he's like, hey, look at me.
That is, the real woke one, right? It's I let my slaves be Christian, so.
It was actually against the law to teach your slaves to read.
You couldn't teach them the Bible?
No, you were not allowed to teach them to read. Now, you were allowed to have slave people come in. read them the Bible to them.
Okay.
But you were not allowed to let them read.
As long as we're allowed to spread the good book.
Because that's kind of what Frederick Douglass's slave owners were in Maryland, in Baltimore, is they were like, quote-unquote, woke slave owners because they taught him to read, so he could read the Bible. And then he immediately started figuring out how to get free. And it was like, oh, maybe this was a bad decision.
Instantly, he was like, you morons. Yeah, we've given this prisoner a gun.
Well, it was like they were the delusional slave owners who thought that, you know, the slave, they like to be slaves, as long as you treat them
nicely. Yeah, yeah, that's like where, like, the... Not the birth, but, like, that's a lot of the foundation for, like, modern America and, like, white supremacist stuff. Like, it's like, well, how could they be that smart if they're slaves?
Well, like, there's a change over time. Because, like, the 1700s opinion of slavery is that, well, this is not great, but it's economically we have to have.
That's life! Yeah.
It was like, this is just a reality that we have to deal with. And one day we're going to work to get rid of this. But right now we got to have it.
Kind of like the modern, like, liberal approach to, like, healthcare.
Yes. And another issue with it is even in northern states, I mean, this is a thing they never tell you about in schools, but, like, this country does not exist without slavery because during the Revolutionary War, the states that wanted to leave Britain were all northern states. Down south, the vast majority of southern people were pro-Britain. Like, they didn't have a problem with being an English colony. Because they largely got the benefit. Like, when England goes to tax America to pay for protection, the states that suffered the most during the French and Indian War, that suffered the most Indian raids, were southern states. And they're like, well, yeah, that sounds fair. Like, yeah, they spent a lot of money protecting us. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Also, and they're right by... And they're, like, way closer to, like, what, the Spanish border, the French border at that time.
Yeah,
so,
like, they're sitting there going, you know what, it's not the worst idea for us to pay more money to be protected from these people close to us. Yeah. This is, and just because...
But if you're, like, Pennsylvania...
The big screw-up on George's part is the kind of tax he picked. He picked an import tax, which meant the people paying the tax were the people who needed the protection the least. Because all the shipping colonies were up north. Weren't really in any kind of danger.
When did England outlaw or abolish slavery?
After they lost the colonies.
Okay. So, like, do you think they would have done it?
That's how the northern colonies convinced the southern colonies to join the revolution. They said, look, there's a major political party, I believe at that time the Tories, or no, the Whigs, were already saying we should get rid of slavery. And it was like, you know, if they win the next election, they're going to outlaw slavery. And then, you know, then what are you going to do? We promise that we'll let you keep your slaves. And so, you know, the whole country is founded on this idea of, like, well, let's not mess with the South too much because we needed them to win the war. And they want to keep their slaves, let them have them.
Yeah.
And so this country doesn't exist without slavery.
But which is also, like, why our constitution is, like, so fucked up.
Yeah, it's why everything is based on this, like, weird statehood shit. It's because every state wanted, like, guarantees that they wouldn't have the rug pulled out from under them. You know. But the...
Well, and it also kept, like, because eventually the South did, like, you know, try to leave. They probably would have tried to leave earlier.
Right. It would without just happen sooner without the North having the ability to...
Because, like, in theory, America should be, like, four countries. Right?
Well, if at the time, more. It was definitely should have been two. You know, by the time the Civil War happens, it's really, like, at that point, three. And then now, there's a good case it's, like, four or five.
I think it's, like, five. Like, how would you break that up?
New England? Maybe. Like Rust Belt? Maybe you put New York in with the New England, you know, like,
I New think,
York,
but New York could, like, be its own country. I mean, New York City could be its own country. Basically is.
Yeah. And then, you know, then you'd have, like, the mid-Atlantic South, like Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee,
The blackface South.
Yeah. The states that don't think they're as racist as they are.
Yeah.
And then the states that absolutely know how racist they are and don't care.
But no, you know what it is? It's, like, the, you know, that upper part of the South, and then it's, like, the party South, which is, like, Louisiana, Georgia,
the part, the parts.
Florida.
the parts that, like, would immediately, as soon as, if they actually emancipated, would immediately have nothing and would be completely broke.
Yeah.
Like, the deep south, like, the welfare south, is what I like to call it.
I like to call it the party south.
Just maxing out those credit cards.
Yeah.
With no way of ever paying it back.
But it's like, it's so fucking hot here, why not? There is, like, a certain attitude to, like, really deep south people. Or I think it's just, like, from it being so hot.
Yeah, there's something to that.
Yeah, it's gotta
be
miserable.
And, you know, so that's, you know, but the early period is like, well, slavery is not something we're going to rely on forever. We'll one day move past neediness. And then the first slave revolts start happening in the early 1800s. And especially when Haiti kicks the French out.
Yeah.
That completely changed. Like, suddenly the realization starts to hit that, oh, wow, they're surrounded. Like, in a lot of these southern places, the slave population outnumbered
100%.
The white population, like, 3-1.
It's like, always, like, kind of wild to me.
Oh, wow, we're actually in trouble if they
kinda,
ever...
That's always, like, kind of wild to me, where it's like, you think a revolt, like, would have probably happened in the South, but it does feel like the psychological terror.
Well, because what starts to happen is that the, like, it becomes, well, we have to protect ourselves from the threat. And so it starts becoming more and more violent and more perverse, and the treatment becomes more and more horrifying and dehumanizing to compensate for the fact that, oh, they might rise up on us. And then around the 1830s, you start getting, like, religious and cultural excuses for why this is okay. That's when you start getting that, well, they're better off being slaves. And so it turns from, well, yeah, this isn't the greatest thing in the world, and one day we'll move beyond it, to, well, yeah, this is the way it should be. And we need to do whatever we can to maintain it at all costs.
Yeah. And that's, you're not talking about capitalism?
Yeah. No. Well, yeah, it's similar tax the life cycle. Yeah. That's pretty much the life cycle of any country that goes hog wild on capitalism, is that at first it's like, oh, it's making us all money. Then when you start having the crashes and everything starts going tits up, it starts to become, well, the only way to maintain this is either to reform it with, you know, leftist reform, like FDR-style reforms.
Yeah.
That's the only way capitalism has ever functioned, is with heavy liberal reforms, or... just increase the violence to keep everybody in line.
Yeah, or make it, like, more animalistic, essentially, is what you do.
Like, yeah, you're losing out on this, and if you have a problem with it, we'll just send a police officer by your house to beat the piss out of you.
Hey, also, Dan, can we shout out friend of the show, Donnie Trump, innocent of all charges today.
Innocent of all charges.
We
did. Do not read the fine print.
Nope. I am, that's our boy. We can finally admit that we like Russia, and we're done.
It's finally safe to talk about how much we love Russia again.
It's morning again. The Russia does, like, rule. We don't discuss this enough. Like, it's just, like, these hardened people who just hate life.
And, like, my favorite thing about Russia is that they've been America's biggest boogeyman for... I guess, like, 7 decades now. Like, Russia's trying to come back and take the title away from Muslims.
Well, for 100 years.
But the biggest thing about them is that they've never actually been much of a threat to us because they're such a fucking poorly run shit country.
Because they're all, like, they're all drunk, and, like, why wouldn't you be? If you're either drunk or you're fighting somebody, or, like, just, like spontaneously just lifting heavy things when you get into an argument. Like, that's what I imagine, like, Putin does. He just starts lifting things when he's yelling at you.
Yeah, one of the only things I kind of remember from college is when we studied the history of American foreign relations vis-a-vis Russia. And, like, immediately, once the Cold War starts to ramp up in the late 40s, early 50s, we're, from the get-go, vastly overestimating how strong Russia is. We have literally done this for decades.
Yeah.
Where we just assume they're much stronger than they actually are.
Well, Russia's, like, strong, like, in the sense of, like, well, you can't really invade them.
That's literally the only thing Russia has.
Same thing with, like, Afghanistan, but even, like, with the terrorists. It's like, they get, like, a strike in, but come on.
Like,
I'm not going to do anything.
The minute that they try to do, like, the minute you start worrying about what they're going to do to you, you've already fucked up. Because they can't. Yeah. They're so poorly run and they're so poor. Yeah. There's literally no way for them to
but
do anything.
But at the same time, they can probably survive in their homeland better than
you. But if you try to go after them, yeah, that's literally the death of your empire.
Yeah. As we've learned.
Because it's a pissant part of the world that nobody actually wants. Like, there's nothing there to want. Why would you want anything in Russia? It's all fucking frozen.
Yeah. Well, global warming.
Exactly. Russia will be a paradise.
Russia will be Russia's going to... Maybe we should get in on the Russia thing.
Start buying Russian land now.
Is Russian food good? Do they have food
No,
Russia?
It's terrible.
It's terrible. No. I've never... Gorsh, I thought Gorsh was just like
disgusting.
A... I thought that was just one of those made-up Seinfeld words. Like Gore-Tex.
Yeah, it's the Gore-Tex. Gore-Tex is very 90s, sir. I had a Charlotte Hornets Gore-Tex jacket.
Is Gore-Tex real?
Yeah, it's that stuff that...
Oh, I thought it was made up.
You know, that like those puffy starter jackets for
Yeah, no, there's a... Yeah, there's an episode of Seinfeld where George wears a Gore-Tex jacket.
Yeah. It's like, very, all it's of very those comical. Like cool starter jackets everybody always talks about.
Yeah. Like a Charlotte Hornets one, if you will. Which brings me to this, Dan.
That's exactly the reference I made, was to the Charlotte Hornets.
We were discussing earlier your Charlotte Hornets. And like it looks like with the news this week and everything, Kemba Walker's probably leaving Charlotte. And what I've seen from fan reaction is like, yeah, he probably should.
Yeah. Like, yeah, Kemba, we will always love you. Go on and find a better life than we can give you.
We're basically singing,
like, we're not singing the Whitney Houston version, we're singing the Dolly Parton version of I Will Always Love You, which is a lot sadder and more tender, where it's like, I can never give you what you need, please, just go on, we will always love you, though.
And the issue with the Hornets is, like, you can't just, like, quick rebuild this and get rid of, like, all of their awful cap stuff. It's gonna take, like, literally 3 years. And there are multiple guys paid way more than Kemba. That's because of, like, Kemba's rookie deal or what. It's just the pay structure thing. But on the highest paid player for the Hornets, Dan, makes $24 million this year, $25 the next, then player option 2020 for $27 million. Nicholas Batum.
Yeah, the Hornets are, like, weird where they've got all these guys making way more money for their position than they should be, and they all stink. So it's like, if you were trying to tank, you would probably have these guys on your team, but you wouldn't have all of them.
No. You would have one.
Like you would have one or two of these guys. Like, if you were really trying to tank, you would give Marvin Williams a bunch of money and just have him be your best
player. No, or you would trade for Marvin Williams and get, like, a draft pick or a good young player with it. In theory, that's what you would do. Like, if the Hawks said, okay, we'll take on Nicholas Batum. We want, like, 4 second rounders to pay this motherfucker. It's traditionally what you would do, but, like, the Hornets don't have like, any of those assets.
We don't have any assets in exchange for all of these terrible contracts.
Next up, Bismarck Biyombo. $17 million.
Just awful.
Second highest paid player, by the way. And that's the other thing. It's not like two guys with giant contracts.
It's like five or six guys with the worst contract for their spot.
It's like death by paper cut to the cap. Bismarck Biyombo is making $17 million the next 2 years.
Yeah, Marvin because if Williams, you just had like one terrible contract, you could just... Like, I think
you could trade it or something. Yeah.
There is no untradeable contract that you can't get out from under.
Yeah.
But when you've got eight, like, yeah, you're stuck, bro. That's all there is to it.
Because the thing is, like, usually if you get rid of a contract, you would attach like an asset to it. A draft pick or something. Hornets can't really do that like six times. There's not a ton of like great assets.
But I think all of this is just symptoms of the real problem. And the real problem is Michael Jordan's an idiot who doesn't know how to draft any players. Because what happens is that the Hornets have been in this limbo for so long where it's just like, yeah, they're never going to really get good because nobody trusts that we'll be able to make more than one good draft pick in a 5-year period. Like, they drafted Kemba and then never drafted another decent player.
Like, what? This was a higher pick, I think. I'm looking at Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
I mean, not good.
Yeah, not a pretty solid defensive player, but not the guy you like want to take like number what, 3 overall or something.
Yeah, and so it's just like it, when you come to free agents, it's like, why would they come play for Charlotte? They know they're never going to go anywhere. It's not a particularly. I mean, Charlotte's fine.
It's becoming a better city. Yeah,
I didn't particularly love living there, but like as far as cities go, there are worse places. It's not Salt Lake City.
But it got like good feedback from the All-Star game. Like a lot of people left saying like, yeah, it's not the best city, but like the women are good looking. So like, who cares?
It's surprising. Like, it's surprisingly not shit. But that's the point. It's surprisingly not shit. It's not like a destination. It's not.
Damn, they
not
took
like Los Angeles.
Michael Kidd-Gilchrist was taken number 2 overall in 2012.
Yeah, who could they have had? Let me know.
Who
went first and who went third?
Number 1 overall was Anthony Davis. So ping pong balls
go
your way. Yeah.
So close to to the next Alonzo Mourning that we missed.
Number 3 pick, Bradley Beal.
That would have been a lot better.
Yeah, next to Kemba Walker. Huh.
Yeah. And he would have probably been happier with that because he wouldn't have had to play with John Wall.
Dion Waiters was next. He like,
okay, that's a bullet dodge.
Yeah, same. Thomas Robinson, another bullet dodge. You couldn't take him here? Damian Lillard.
Why
you can't play him?
You
can't play him next to Kemba. It's too, they're too small.
I don't know. Let's do it.
It'd be more fun than this.
It'd be more fun than this hellish existence.
Because like McCollum's a little bit different than Kemba, but like they kind of do the smaller guard thing in Portland, and like I don't think Trailblazers fans
just play two and Damian Lillard play
or
one.
Like you. And like what you really do is you're just trialing the minutes, so like they're not always playing together. You take
but
out.
You basically just always have a good starting point guard.
Yeah.
The whole way. Through.
Also, not the best player, Harrison Barnes, number 7. Number 9, Andre Drummond.
That felt like. I mean, I'm surprised we didn't take Andre Drummond 3rd or 2nd.
Wasn't he pretty good coming out?
That feels like a Jordan pick, where it's just like you just waste a bunch of money on a center who would have been great in 1990.
Let's see if they kept. I don't think they kept their 2nd round pick, but the guy who went 35 overall, Draymond Green. It's like essentially that's what you wanted Gilchrist to be, is what Draymond is. And the Warriors got him in the 2nd round.
We don't talk enough about how the Warriors dynasty is just based on pure ass luck. And the fact that everybody's lost their minds trying to like, well, we got to blow up our teams to catch up with them. No, just wait a couple years, because that was pure ass luck.
And here's the other thing, like, they're even though like it's not as long as the dynasty was, like, they're at the tail end of like that Jordan Bulls dynasty thing. And like people forget, like the Bulls, if Jordan doesn't retire or go away or whatever, maybe they win it in 95. Do they even win it afterwards? Because like the wheels are coming off. You can only work with somebody like that.
Yeah, basically they blew up that team, and the only people who can't, like the only guy who was still on the team for the 2nd run was Pippen.
Yeah,
it's basically 2 completely different teams.
Yeah,
because like Horace Grant was literally gonna strangle Michael Jordan,
and that lasted what? And that lasted what, 2 years or 3 years, whatever it was.
Well, they also like. There was also that thing that like LeBron did in Cleveland where you're an older guy and you're just like, yeah, we're making one big run left and I don't want to play with young guys.
Yeah. Which
so
is fair.
Like they went and got Dennis Rodman, who probably was not the Dennis Rodman in Chicago. Yeah, he had a ton of rebounds, but he was not.
Not like he was with Detroit.
Like that was the Dennis Rodman you really wanted.
But we remember the Bulls won. Isn't that funny?
Because he was on the they won titles.
Yeah. How many more athletes are there like that, do you think? Where like we don't remember them for their best years because they didn't play for a team anybody cared about.
Paul O'Neal.
Maybe Kemba or Kemba.
I always think of Paul O'Neal on that, because Paul O'Neal with the Cincinnati Reds in the late 80s, early 90s was way better than the Paul O'Neal with the Yankees. But the Paul O'Neal with the Yankees won 3 World Series. And he was one of those guys who was like beloved by Yankee fans because he was a fucking cop. you know, Yankees fans loves cops.
The friggin'... The first responders. I can't do it.
Hey, this is my New York accent. Don't pay attention that it's a Chicago. Hey, I love the thin crust.
Let's see. I'm just looking through. How about that? The Hornets could have taken CJ McCollum the next year.
You could basically just go through every Charlotte draft and go, man, if you just threw a dartboard, you could have done better than you did.
They took Cody Zeller.
Because his brother went to Carolina. He didn't even go to Carolina.
And like, obviously, like, teams are going to whiff on this. Giannis goes 15.
Giannis would have been cool.
Giannis might end up being, like, the best basketball player of all time. Just based on, like, physical traits and, like, you know, progression and things like that.
Yeah, and that's the kind of pick that the Hornets drafted Kobe Bryant and traded him for Vlade Divac.
He didn't want to play there, right? Wasn't that the issue? Or was it like Kobe was I'm going to play there?
I think it was that's always been murky. I think the Hornets just wanted Vlade Divac.
Well, who wouldn't?
And they asked the Lakers who did they want in exchange, and the Lakers said draft Kobe. That's who we want.
No.
So I'm not sure the Hornets ever really saw Kobe Bryant as a guy they wanted on their team. It was more, we want this guy from the Lakers, and the Lakers are saying this is who they want, and who they want us to pick.
What year was that, 96?
I think it was 97, I want to say.
I'll look that up.
Because it was right after they lost Alonzo Mourning. They were like, we got to have a center. We got to have a center. We can't not have a center. Vlade Divac. You know, the guy on the worst Laker teams until recent years.
They took Kobe at 13. You know who went 14? Peja. You could have just had Peja instead of Vlade.
That Hornets team would have wasted Peja.
Steve Nash went 15. Jermaine O'Neal 17.
They could have used Jermaine O'Neal. I feel like they would have wasted Nash and Peja.
Big Z. Zorjanis.
Zildjuris Ilgauskas.
Yes.
The second best center from Estonia of all time.
It's so, but like, we also like go back and like, oh, how could the Hornets be that dumb? But it's like, how the fuck were you going to know an 18-year-old was going to turn into Kobe Bryant?
But it's just the Hornets made two good drafts ever, and then those two guys hated each other. So it all blew up, and they've never drafted another good player. So.
They've never been able to figure out. That's the year Iverson went number one, by the way. That might be.
I mean, well, the,
is that the best draft class ever?
Ever since the Larry Johnson, Alonzo Mourning thing, the Hornets have never been able to have more than one good draft pick every 5 years. Because they also had Baron Davis, and Baron Davis ruled. Yeah. But it was just Baron Davis and a bunch of jokes.
And Baron Davis is like the Baron coolest
Davis
guy
was the
ever.
Original Kemba.
Isn't he married to, like, an old white lady or something?
He married, it's a famous actress. I think it's, the lady from the last Star Wars movie who suicided.
Oh, yeah,
bombed,
yeah. Yeah.
Who was in that David Lynch movie, Inland Empire. Yeah. And now Baron Davis dates her. That's very funny to me.
That rules. That's why, like, Glenn Davis, or Baron Davis, is just, like, the man. Because he's just like, fine, I'll date an old white lady.
Well, she's not that much older than him.
That's true. She just looks older because he's like an athletic black guy.
She's been in movies for 20 years. But like, he's like 40 and she's like 48, 49. I mean, they're not. It's not that weird.
It's just weird like an NBA player is doing it. That's to me. It's like you never see like NBA guys marrying actresses. They're always like, who are they
like,
marrying?
Instead of him marrying a trophy wife, he married somebody richer than him.
But most NBA guys just marry like their high school sweetheart. Well, and then like fuck around. Yeah. Or just screw around and that's the agreement because there's so much money.
And then they get divorced when they're 50 and then marry a 20-year-old white girl.
Yeah.
As I like to call it, the Michael Jordan.
Is that what he did?
Yeah. He had the longtime wife who was there. And a lot of that is just in general with athletes, is the woman that they marry when they're in their career. Like, they basically, and this happened to Ric Flair. Like, you
basically
get used to, like, never really being around each other, and you're,
yeah.
Like, your marriage works as long as you're never seeing each other. And then as soon as the guy retires and it's like, well, okay, I've finally got time to spend around the house, you realize that the two of you have nothing in common, and this is not a good relationship.
I think for any successful person, you see that. Like, male or female or whatever, like, when you devote a lot of time to your career, then you retire, you don't really know how you're going to be able to do with your partner.
Yeah, and it just happens to athletes a lot because their careers end in their 40s. And so they still have, like, their wife and them still feel like they have years left that they could spend.
Or you might see, like, when a guy makes it up to executive and, like, he can spend more time at home because, like, that's part of why you work your way up to work less, I guess. Then he's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, it's like, this is, like, yeah, we hate each other.
This is a bad idea.
That's how I'm gonna lose. A lot of coaches, too, where, like, they get fired, like, not necessarily, like, they retire, but it's like, oh, they get fired and they end up in TV or something, and then they're like, man, we don't have anything in common, do we? Because them and their wife, like, they've never spent more than, like, 2 hours a night around their wife, and, you know, and it's like, oh, man, this is not a great relationship we've got.
Dan, can you imagine who the Hornets would have taken maybe over Baron Davis? They fucked this up. What if they took Lamar Odom? Jonathan Bender.
I think I was happier with Baron Davis.
Yeah, I mean, he could have had Wally Szczerbiak.
God, that would have been terrible. That would have been Michael Jordan pick.
He was, played in one All-Star game.
Yeah, the classic Michael Jordan pick of taking a guy who had a great college career. And then not paying any attention to the fact that he has no athleticism. It's always bizarre to me that Michael Jordan has this thing for picking guys who are absolutely terrible athletes.
Because that's who he played against.
Yeah, he played against all those guys and torched them.
Yeah, and he doesn't realize. He's like, well, they were good. And it's like, yeah, in the 90s, buddy. Like, I don't think Steve Kerr is really cutting it today, homie. Actually, Steve Kerr might today because he knew how to shoot the three.
Yeah, Steve Kerr would have been fine. It was like the Keith Van Horns, where it's like, oh man, you do not have a place in this league anymore. It's like he drafted the big stiff from Wisconsin, who's fucking blows. But, oh, he's a seven-footer who can shoot. Yes. But it's like, yeah, but it takes him 20 hours to run up and down the court. And, like, literally anybody in the league can score 30 on him. He can't stay in front of anybody. And it's not college. You can't just plant a center in the middle of a lane.
So, what, Baron Davis rookie year, they make the playoffs?
Yeah, Baron Davis ruled.
Wow. And then they take Jamal McGlure. The draft, that's two great picks. Because they could have fucked up and taken, like, Speedy.
That's five. Not a good pick. Jamal McGlure sucked.
He made an all-star team. Like, if you're looking at, like, who's taken around him, though. It's the best pick of who was there. I mean, they could have had Deshaun to Stevenson.
He was in the league a long time.
He was pretty good on that Mavericks team, I think. But, like, going through this, he was the last guy that got drafted the year they made, except Michael Redd in the second round. So I guess they could have taken
Michael Redd would have been awesome.
But no one knew Michael. They could have taken him in the second round, actually.
I wish we had Michael Redd.
Michael, that's a guy like no one ever talks about. Like, Michael Redd was a big deal when we were, like, growing up. Or, like, hitting our formative years, if you will.
For some reason, nobody remembers anybody from those Bucks teams that were, like, literally came, like, one game away from making the finals.
Yeah, like, and, like, maybe were more exciting to watch than those, like, shitty Nets teams that always made it.
Yeah.
They were just, like, well-coached and had the best point guard of his era, probably.
Yeah, and the Bucks had, like, the best shooter alive, and, like, maybe the greatest shooter ever until Curry. Like, the greatest pre-Curry shooter. And then Michael Redd was really good. And it's like, they were really good. Can't remember who their point guard was, and that's probably why they didn't win, but still.
And Michael Redd kept getting hurt. That was also the other issue. Like, I think he tore his ACL twice, or, like, in a row, or something.
That sounds about right. He was one of those guys who was, like, you'd play him in the video game, and you'd be like, huh, why am I not hearing anything about this guy? And then you'd remember, oh, yeah, because he's hurt.
Yeah. And it's one of those, like...
You torch guy teams with him as on your video game.
And the funny thing is, like, now, Michael Redd's, like, his ACLs probably would have been fine or something, because, like, the medical whatever, so much.
Well, wasn't he in that heyday of the microfracture surgery,
which something like that?
This is the new way to fix ACLs, and every guy who had it was never the same.
Yeah. And then like Adrian Peterson, whoever, like, who did Adrian Peterson's ACL?
Well, Adrian Peterson just went and got those European steroids.
Yes. So Kobe did with the Achilles, right?
Well, it didn't work for him, so that's not exactly global.
No, Achilles is like.
But if you're a 35-year-old guy and you tear your Achilles, that's it. You might as well just.
The only guy to like be successful afterwards that old was what, like Dominique, and he had like one good year.
Yeah, I wouldn't it's even like call him that successful.
Yeah, it was just like he averaged 20 points.
Like yeah, on a bad team.
Yeah, I think it was like a bad Celtics 90s team.
I think he was. Yeah, that was either the Celtics or the Clippers.
Spurs.
Yeah. Like a terrible Celtics team that wasn't even.
It was like right before Patino came in or something, I think.
Yes. Yeah, he was one of the guys that Patino got rid of.
Can we bring him back to the NBA? Speaking of that, did you see the news today? LA Lakers are interested in Jason Kidd.
Why not just hire Mike Jackson?
I'm telling you, man. I wonder if the Clippers weren't just run by, like, the biggest dumb racist ever for, like, the
well, if Jerry Buss was still alive, none of this
maybe
would be happening.
Like, maybe the Clippers, it's just like, oh, that owner was bad. It's not like the Lakers were holding them down for years.
I think it's just a combination of, like, Sterling was a racist moron, and Jerry Buss
like,
was
cheap.
The best owner in sports, and now Jerry Buss is dead. And Donald Sterling is gone, and it's like, oh, wow. I still feel like the Clippers should change their name.
What would you change it to?
It became something like the Los Angeles something else.
Well, they were the Clippers because they went to San Diego. And in San Diego,
like all the naval stuff. Yeah,
every sports team has to be like a sailing reference.
Or the Padres.
The Padres. I guess the Chargers.
Nothing is named after sailing except the Clippers.
I thought it was. I thought that was a thing in San Diego. Maybe I'm wrong. No, Padres, you have to have a Padre on the boat.
I don't think you actually do.
For the chaplain. And then there's Lightning.
I mean, boats are kind of famous for being debauched, sinful places without much, you know.
Buffalo was what, No, they were in Buffalo, right? Because you know,
yeah,
like.
They moved from Buffalo to San Diego.
You know that was like the famous swap? Because it was the guy who owned the Celtics.
It was the owner of the Celtics.
And they just traded.
I don't know if he's the same one who moved him to San Diego, or if he sold the.
No, he did.
San Diego.
He wanted to move him to San Diego because he was like a Hollywood guy or something.
But he couldn't move the Celtics
because the league was like no. But like Buffalo,
the Celtics have won more titles than anybody. And so he's like, okay, I'll swap it with a team that nobody cares if I move.
No, and Buffalo wanted to move because
Buffalo's a shitty city that shouldn't have any professional sports.
It's not even that. They were, like, the NBA hated having a team in Buffalo because they were third on, like, the arena, like, who gets to pick what dates, behind the hockey team, obviously, and, like the men's basketball team. So the NBA, like, literally couldn't release their schedule until those other two teams, like, had finished theirs. So the NBA was even like, fuck Buffalo. We can't do this.
Yeah, because Buffalo's a small town fucking
pissant. Buffalo's fucking. Yeah, but it's fine for, like, hockey or something.
Is it?
Don't they do well for hockey?
Yes. I mean,
I'm not here to
Buffalo Sabres since Dominic Hasek played there.
I'm not here to shit on
I'm Buffalo. Here to shit on Buffalo.
Too
Buffalo,
many people do.
Buffalo is the most pointless city in America. And I'm so sick of, like, people in the North. I'm so sick of, like, pissant cities in the Northeast, like Hartford and, like, Buffalo, and, like, what's the other New York, the one that's upstate New York, Rochester, who think there's some fucking something, and it's like, oh, the South, I would never go to Atlanta. Motherfucker, Atlanta's 15 times your size! Who the hell are you?
They're, like, Tampa, and it's like, yeah, like, Tampa's a bigger deal than Rochester. Sorry. And Tampa sucks, too. That's another pointless town, is, like, Tampa and Orlando. There's no reason.
There should be one. That should be one place.
Yeah, and there's no reason for Orlando except Disney World.
Orlando literally didn't exist before.
Disney. There you go. And what's Tampa? Like, there's a bay there, but like there's bays everywhere in Florida. It's not a big deal.
It was a shipping center.
Is that it? Because it's like central. It's like in the central or something.
Yeah. Because you can't just run everything out of Miami. If you want to get something up to the northern part, it's nice to have a
place that's further. Like you don't want, and maybe you don't want to go all the way through the Gulf.
Yeah. I mean, Tampa's fine. Tampa, I mean, as far as...
I didn't like...
It's better than Buffalo!
Probably, but it's so hot. It's like the opposite of, like, Buffalo is probably cold and miserable, but Tampa's, like, sticky.
Well, everything in Florida is sticky and shitty.
I don't know. I'm not a Tampa... I went to Tampa for a year. I went to Clearwater.
Like, you didn't keep the whole fucking state of Florida other than Miami.
Yeah, I like the Gulf.
You can keep it. It's just nothing but people who shoot you over a traffic argument.
Is Tampa that much better than Buffalo? Similar to Buffalo in that what both have an NFL and hockey team, but no basketball team.
Yeah, but or they got Orlando. And that's right next door.
Is that Orlando? That's like 45 minutes away.
It's not that far. Well, maybe in traffic, yeah. Because traffic is hellacious.
Well, it's awful. That whole... I remember being stuck in the Tampa traffic and like I'd been drinking in the car. Not driving, but in a passenger seat. And like, man, I had to pee so bad. That was like one of the worst... That's probably why I hate Tampa, actually. That was like literally one of the worst experiences.
Oh, and Orlando's literally the worst airport in the country. Orlando is the dirt worst airport. Also because if you have to fly into airport as a connecting flight, everybody in there is either a screaming fucking asshole on their way to Disney... Or they're fucking pissed off coming back from Disney.
What's in Orlando? Like, just like a bunch of old kids? Old conservatives?
It's a lot of retirement people. There's a lot of retirement. So it's one of those kind of places.
It's just like I could put
literally
up with
why Trump is president, is Orlando. Yeah.
I'd be like, I could put up with your politics, but you're also old, and like,
isn't
you think
Trump,
you're...
Isn't Mar-a-Lago close to Tampa or Orlando?
Yeah, because that's where that jerk-off lady was, right? Robert Kraft's mistress. Or Madame.
Yeah, he doesn't want us to see his little penis getting jerked.
I like that, like, the Florida version of that story is, like, nowhere near as, like, dramatic as, like, what the New York version would have been. Because there would have been, like, a fucking Madame, and then, like, this weird character lady who, like, runs the brothel.
Well, there was. She's a Chinese. A Chinese lady who was selling access to the president to Chinese spies.
Yeah, why is no one talking about that one?
Like, because our media is stupid.
And the Dems. And the Democrats are so dumb.
The media was so excited that they got to fucking do Russia Cold War fucking horseshit again.
When, like, the new Cold War is with China, baby. Everyone knows that.
But no, they're supposed to be pro-China because Trump's trade deals are supposed to be stupid.
No,
so you can't admit that that's maybe not a bad idea.
But you know why they really can't be anti-China? Because the media companies
own everything.
Yes. Or the media companies want to get into China.
Like all the media companies own movie studios that have to sell movies in China.
Yeah. But not here at halfguarded.com. We are taking on the Chinese.
We're not afraid to say those Ching Chongs got something.
Whoa, we're not. No. Not. But we are here to say.
I am pissed off that the Chinese have taken away all love scenes from movies. Like, every movie scene is now 9/11. Every movie now has to have a 9/11 scene in it.
Yes.
But nobody's allowed to ever fuck.
And they took John Cena from us.
Yeah, he's an honorary Chinese now, right?
He's a Chinese man. Him and Stefan Marbury. China's two greatest heroes.
They gave him back his hair, so he's like, well, I guess I'm Chinese now.
I would, though. If I'm going bald and China's like, here's hair, I'm like, yes, sir. Hail to the, Mao? What's the president?
I don't think they're Maoists anymore.
They're not Maoists anymore? Well,
no.
Are they, like, pretend Maoists? Like, how, like, liberals pretend to like socialism? But, like, they don't?
I think so. I think maybe you still have to read the Little Red Book, but...
But you're, like, rolling your eye, like a modern wine mom Democrat.
It's basically just, like, state-sponsored capitalism. Which is weird. I understand.
Big fan. And Dan, this broke across. Did we discuss this earlier? Gronkowski. Retired.
Yeah, we did discuss this.
On the show or just
before the show? Yeah, on the show. We talked about this like 10 minutes ago.
Sure. Are you sure?
I don't know.
I think it was pre-show.
If we did, if we talked about it on the show, people are going to be so pissed off.
Talk about it again. No, it was right before we started recording, because I went into my Matt Ryan's good defense.
No, and I was like, yeah, all tight ends get worn out, and Gronkowski has got rings, so it's like, why keep destroying your body playing tight
ends? Yeah, and like, on that Hail Mary last year, like, you had to retire after, like, you looked like that. Because, like, a guy like Gronk can't, like, overcome looking dumb. At sports, he could overcome looking, like, dumb with his brain. But
here's how I knew that that things weren't going to end well for Rich Rodriguez at Arizona. Rich Rodriguez was quoting Gronkowski a lot when he was trying to sell people on coming to the University of Arizona. And the AD was like, you can't keep saying that. You have to stop. Because Gronkowski's thing was, is that he gets off the plane for his recruiting visit and he looks out at the campus and he immediately sees three girls who look like they belong in a porno. And Rich Rodriguez was quoting that to people. It's like, hey man, this is why you need to come to Arizona. And the AD was like, you can't say that. You can't do that. That's not good. Of course, it's Arizona State that famously produced a porn star, so I don't know.
Yeah, is that where talking about? Who is that where, like, who came from there? It's like Trina Trump?
I believe her name was Courtney Simpson, because she was a cheerleader there, she did a pornographic film.
No, I'm not, like, a big follower of porn, but this Trina Trump, I don't really care about her porn shit. Just as a character, fascinating to me. Because actually, she came out of high school. She was like ready to turn 18 and go into porn.
Well, that's usually how it works.
Yeah, you gotta respect that.
It's like stripping. You start at 18 and you're done by 25.
Yeah, and you're like richer than everyone else.
But then you're like, oh man, I have no life skills. This sucks.
You have the greatest life skills. You're attractive.
Well,
it's all you need. Not even as a man or a woman, or if you're attractive, like, you can kind of do whatever.
Sure. I mean, a lot of times with some of those industries, it's not necessarily about your attractiveness. It's about your willingness to do certain things.
Well, I mean, you could marry up or just get, like, a job that you shouldn't have because you're attractive. Like, you don't see a lot of attractive.
Or get addicted to cocaine, and then you're really fucked.
But then you're fucking up how attractive you are. You got to take care of it. You got to nurture attractiveness, I think.
You can always.
I wouldn't know.
There's always this percentage of people in those industries who then go into sex work, like straight up sex work. And it's like, oh man, yeah, you caught a disease and now you can't work in porn
anymore. Not if you do it right. Oh yeah. I mean, there's a lot of successful sex workers. We're not here to bash sex work.
There's just a lot of, pornography is more fucked up than sex work, I would say.
Yeah, it's, like, pretty awful, isn't it? Like,
yeah, it's a pretty fucked up industry.
Yeah, I'm not really.
I mean,
it
makes pro wrestling look normal and good.
Yeah, I'm not. That's why I don't. That's why I'm not a porn guy, right there.
Just I'm super into buying hookers.
I just look at the Bible for all my erotic needs.
You want to know? Oh God, Song of Solomon.
No, what's the other one? Ezekiel.
Ezekiel like they're a major bummer, dude. That's not the book you're thinking of.
No, I thought it was Ezekiel that had, like, their genitals were like donkeys.
No, that's Song of Solomon.
No, I thought it was Ezekiel.
Here. Ezekiel is just nothing but, like prophecies that the end of the world is coming.
Well, that could be big old dicks are coming in the prophecy.
I'm not sure I follow.
I gotta play up my Wonder Bible and see.
The study Bible, sir. That's the one you should have.
No, have you seen the Wonder Bible? It talks to you.
The study Bible had these, like, chapter, like, these summaries in front of each book of the Bible, like, basically summarizing what was gonna happen.
Yeah, Ezekiel 23:20. There she lusted after her lovers, whose genitals were like those of donkeys.
Oh, yeah, he's talking about Israel, like, not following the Bible, and instead, like, following all these idolatrous, super-hung, fucking idol gods.
And whose mission was, like, that of horses. So, like, a guy with a big old dick, and that semen is just coming out. Like, hard.
Yeah, like, it's less sexy than your painting this.
I don't think that's very sexy. That just sounds like you're going to bruise your vagina or your butt. like semen just shooting out. Like a horse, when horses pee, that's pretty strong.
I've not been around horses.
I'm just usually watching horses pee. It's usually most of my day.
I'm in Atlanta. I just figure that's all you have to do. It's not like Buffalo.
There's horse cops everywhere.
Atlanta's not like Buffalo. You don't have anything to do in Atlanta.
You know what?
Just sit around watching the horses piss.
No, Buffalo, don't listen to Dan. We're fans. Invite us up. They slam each other through tables in Buffalo. It's pretty cool.
They don't.
They do. They do the table thing.
What are you talking about?
In Buffalo Bills tailgates, the fans will, like, jump through, like, tables. Like wrestling.
Yeah, because they got nothing else to do.
That's pretty cool. What do they do, like, at a tailgate? What do they do at a tailgate for, like, at Tampa? You know, it's
they
pretty
drink like normal people.
That
they have a sandwich. They have a dolphin sandwich. It's really good.
I can't imagine like a worse existence than like being born like a Tampa Bay Bucks fan.
Then she'll be saying that you're, you know, embarrassed of Hulk Hogan, Tampa's most famous resident.
Oh god! Like Tampa's worse. You know what, Buffalo? I got your back. Tampa's worse than Buffalo.
Tampa gave us Ryan Nanny, and Hulk Hogan. Two people who are exactly the same.
The exact same people. What? I want some more Tampa facts.
TampaFacts.com. Tampa. Just leads you to an STI awareness site.
The Wikipedia page is like, this place just sucks. Because, like, you think Tampa would be, like, a little more Hispanic or something, but it's not at all.
No, it isn't. No, Tampa is, like, the capital of white Florida.
Which is, like, wild. Because, like, Spain ran that shit forever. So it's just, like, all the Spaniards who, like...
Tampa is also pro wrestler. That is the home of every pro wrestler. Like, every pro wrestler lives in Tampa.
The Tampa...
Tampa or L.A.
St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Florida metropolitan area. So it's not part of Orlando. Orlando gets to be its own thing.
Yeah.
How about that?
I do know Tampa probably shouldn't have a baseball team.
I forgot the Rays existed. Where would you move the Rays? Like, just give Nashville a team or something?
Charlotte, North Carolina. Come on,
yeah, Nashville or Charlotte?
I mean, apparently, when they do expansion, they're coming to North Carolina.
They do, like, Asheville?
No, you can't go to Asheville. There's no people there.
Asheville's I thought there were like people... That's like
Asheville's
a
tourism slash college town. There's no, there's nowhere near enough people.
I thought that's where all those tech people moved to.
No.
What's the other city?
Tech people are in Raleigh and Durham.
Oh. I thought Asheville had like a weird hipster tech boom, like Portland or
China. No, it's all beer. It's all like
It's beer. That's it. I knew it was some like.
Because there's a college. There's UNC Asheville.
Yeah.
And that. UNC Asheville is like the only has been North Carolina's most gay friendly city for like 50 years.
The second largest employer in Tampa, Publix.
Publix rules though.
That's true. Publix. Let's see,
we now have Publixes.
I'm a big yeah. Publix is like the best. I do like Kroger, but like Publix is just like their deli chicken.
Big fan of Publix now. They've moved here. They've put down roots. No, they're now a North Carolina company.
There you go. Who did y'all have before?
Food Line has always been our number one.
Food Line's like dead.
Yeah, they're on their way down. But like, if you go to most places in North Carolina, almost all of them have a Food Line. And then
there wasn't
Harris
like
Teeter.
Piggly Wiggly.
Harris Teeter is probably the biggest, I would say.
What about Piggly Wiggly?
We have them, but I mean, I wouldn't say they're our biggest. I would say Piggly Wiggly's more South Carolina. And the parts of North Carolina that have them are the bits that are close to South Carolina.
Yeah, because you don't really see them in Georgia anymore.
There is a Piggly Wiggly about an hour and a half from me. Which
Georgia is more like a...
If you go to Pender County, there's a Piggly Wiggly and a KFC in town.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a KFC that runs a buffet for some reason. And
yeah,
sell
those
chicken hearts and chicken livers.
Did you see where the... the full cast people found an all-you-can-eat Popeyes buffet in Louisiana.
Yeah.
I think it was Lafayette. I wouldn't go there.
I mean, the KFC and I believe it's, I know it's Pender County, North Carolina, but they sell chicken hearts and chicken livers, and that's good.
Wow, there have been quite a few notable people from Tampa.
Yeah, all of them are pro wrestlers, though.
No, you got Gilbert Arenas.
Burt Reynolds.
Pro wrestler Mike Awesome. Which is, that's got to be the only time Gilbert Arenas has been listed before Mike Awesome on any list.
I don't know, man. He had a run in FMW in the fucking early 90s. You know, in a mask. He was Agent Zero. And he fucking,
the Bella.
You know, he came off the top rows.
The Bella Twins.
Of course. I don't know if they're not from there. They're from Arizona.
It says Nikki Bella, born 1983.
I mean, they've lived there.
Bubba the Love Sponge. But I think they could have been born in Tampa and moved to Arizona.
That's true. No one is ever born in Arizona.
Yeah. The Carters, like Aaron Carter. John Cena's.
He's from Massachusetts.
It says list of people from Tampa, Florida. I don't buy this. You know what? This is why you suck, Tampa. You're just making up stuff on your Wikipedia page.
I mean, what we all know is that, you know, Paul Orndorff went to the University of Tampa, played football there.
Maybe. That could be a lie, too.
Dick Slater. Dirty Dick Slater.
Everyone famous from Tampa, though, is like an athlete. They have, there's no, like, businessman or anything like that. It's all just professional athlete. That is amazing.
Professional wrestlers.
Danny Hamlin.
America's greatest athletes.
There's Hulk Hogan. And the Sergeant at Arms of the U.S. House of Representatives is from Tampa.
Oh, is that the guy who's supposed to arrest and execute Stephen Bannon? I take no pleasure in this.
I'm pro-life. Wow, there
are
a lot.
What is Louise doing? How is she handling all this?
I think I'm blocked by her because I'm a Russian. That's also, like, the best thing is, like, people in, like, the weird left community are like, can we just stop all being accused of being Russian? Like, Russian's not even communist anymore, y'all.
That was that Donald Brazil thing. Like, the communists are dictating American politics. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
She's on Fox News. She's on Fox News now.
Yeah, because she said the Clintons. She turned on the Clintons.
Mm-hmm. I would too, though. There's got to be good money turned on the Clintons, even still.
I mean, like I'm never going to be a part of the Donna Brazil rehab project because she's the idiot who lost the Bush Gore.
No, she's an idiot. But
the original Robbie Mook.
But in terms of grifting, that's a good grift. That's a better grift than like Russiagate, because you know that's bullshit.
I mean, it worked for Christopher Hitchens. I mean, nobody knew who that guy was until he started. He started guest hosting the Rush Limbaugh show, all because the former Marxist now says, well, no, he's a Trotskyist. The former Trotskyist is now America's biggest Clinton hater.
There's some DSA member that's just livid, I think. He's not a Marxist, he's a Trotskyist.
Well, that was what he always called himself, is a Trotskyist.
Which is like, that tells you that he was really a lefty, though, because...
he's a communist who doesn't think they should ever be in power. It's basically Trotskyism, right? Like, we should do nothing to actually one day be in power. We should just be communists, though, and bitch about everything. I thought that was, like, the main tenets of Trotskyism, is just never actually accomplishing anything.
Allende
was a Trotskyist, right?
He immediately got
bulleted in the dome.
I don't, I pay no attention to anything like that. I grew up watching sports and wrestling. It's like, I have some ideas about politics, but then people are like, haven't you read this? And I'm like, no, why would I read? I read all day on Twitter. That's the only reading I need,
buddy. I'm too busy reading the results to this match in in Nashville.
Yeah. You know what I was reading? My PWI almanac. I'm reading about wrestlers who died in 1965. That's what I'm doing, buddy.
I want to know about Argentina Roca.
The PW almanac, though, did you have that?
I had the 50th anniversary of WWF issue of PWI. It came out in 2003. And I read that thing back and forth, cover to cover. I had a breakdown of every single WWF champion with a rating, like an ABCDEF. ABCDF rating.
I think I had the 97 PWI almanac, and I just remember, like, it was like when I was first getting into wrestling as a kid. Like, my mom or dad just got it for me randomly, like, we were at Kroger or something like that. And I was like, can I get this? And they're like, sure. I read that motherfucker, like, cover to cover. Like, I could tell you who, like, the Intercontinental Champion was in 86 and, like, how he got screwed. You know? Or going back and reading, like, all these weird, like, WCW results from, like, 92. And I'm like, who the fuck are Kane and Cole?
I literally have no idea who that is.
That was Booker T and Stevie Ray. That's what they were called at first. Kane and Cole.
Oh, because, what's the character from Roots?
Oh.
Kunta Kinte.
Because they were like slaves, right? Because
WCW fucked up, y'all.
Huh. Like, we always get on to Vince McMahon, but like, his racial stuff is like a guy who doesn't think he's racist.
Was pretty fucking racist.
But like, I could buy him thinking like, well, this isn't racist.
Yeah, you know,
trying to honor
African culture.
Yeah, he's doing like the classic like dumb white guy thing. WCW is just like, yeah, we're racist as shit.
Yeah, we're just gonna have a white slave owner.
Like white
who owns two dudes who come out in chains.
Like Vince McMahon.
Kevin Sullivan when he talked about that because that was a dusty idea. Yeah. Kevin Sullivan basically said, "Look, I'm pretty racist, but that was fucked up."
Like, Sullivan, who's, like, from, what, Massachusetts?
Yeah.
Like, the
Sullivan
the South.
It by saying, look, I don't believe there should be any rules. I'm a libertarian. Which is basically like, yeah, I think I should be able to fuck kids. But even I thought that was fucked up.
Yeah, remember when libertarian just meant, like, you could smoke weed, and then, like, everyone else just, like, kind of co-opted it?
Well, I think it was always, like, dudes who think that the age of consent should be, like, 15. Or, like, 11, and then they were just like, well, how can we build a movement? Oh, let's let people smoke pot.
And it sounded cool in college. You're like, yeah, libertarian, that's different. And then, like,
it's always like future Republicans. Libertarians either end up being sex pests or future Republicans who just don't want to admit that they're going to be Republicans. Yeah.
Well, I was, you know what? Maybe that's my future, Dan. I called myself a libertarian at times.
Yeah, sure. If you're 16 and you think you're a libertarian, you're probably pretty bright. If you're 25 and you still are, then you're an idiot.
Yeah, because then you, like, meet other people and you're like, oh, no. Like,
well, basically, the whole thing about libertarianism is it makes perfect sense if you don't know how things actually work. Like, if you think, like, if you're the kind of person who thinks that everything can just be run perfectly, that's libertarianism. But when you get older and you realize, like, how things actually work in life, you're like, oh, nothing is ever going to work right.
Yeah.
Like, everything's always going to be screwed up.
Constantly broken.
You have to constantly put in regulations to keep people from setting their own dick in front
of That's, like, something I don't think we talk about enough. It's like, being an adult is really just realizing, like, oh, none of this makes sense.
Yeah, everyone's an idiot. Like, you are when you're a kid, you think, oh no, the people who are like really successful know what they're doing. Yeah. And then you get older and you're like, oh no, they're just fucking stupid and fell ass first into something.
Yeah.
Like, all it takes is to have that one job where your boss is just a barely functioning psychopath.
Or who has like no idea what he's doing. Or like growing up and thinking about stuff your parents did and you're like, huh, I was the same age as them. Wow, they were just as dumb as me.
Yeah.
Like, that's like when you really grow up, I think, when you're like, oh, it's not my parents' fault they weren't the best. Who could possibly be a good parent? Or a perfect parent might be a better word. You know? UCF's up by 2, Dan.
Go for it, UCF.
With two minutes left.
Make sports media Twitter furious.
Oh, do you it. Make CBS just losing so much money. Well, I would love for Duke to go down because then you can start going, do you take Zion 1? Which, like, of course you do, but, like, we get a month of that argument, which is, like, wonderful.
It's like, maybe he just doesn't have what it takes.
No. Wow, Taco with the dunk. Wow. They might do. They're up four now, Dan. Look at all he did.
This is our podcast now. We're just synchronized watching a game that will be over for days after
anybody does this. But, like, Taco's amazing, though, because, like, you literally, like, you can't do this in the NBA. But, like, for college, like, he just stands there and, like, you just throw him the ball. And he just, like, dunks it without moving his feet.
Mm.
Wow. Look at that. Yeah. Here we go. So, anything else? Hey, Dan, before we get out of here, did you know the baseball regular season started this week? Last week?
Yeah, the Tokyo Dome.
The Tokyo
Dome. Meltzer gave it 15 stars.
Did you see the Athletics make that joke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then everybody gave Dave shit. He's like, actually, I teach at Stanford with the owner of the... And it's like, oh, right.
Did he do that again?
Yeah. I teach at Stanford.
Wasn't he just like a lecturer or something?
Yeah, it's like, you're not a professor. Dude, they bring you in to talk about, like, covering weird sports. Like, you're not...
You're a freak.
It's like, look at this fucking gimp in a costume.
It's like, we're going to invite this weird muscle-bound man with, like, a learning disability. Or, like, a social disability. It's not a learning disability.
This big roided-up freak. Yeah.
To, like, rant at you for, like, 3 hours about a subject you do not understand or care about.
Yeah, this is what it's like. You know, and then that's when Bill Watts threatened to eat my dick off. And I was like, you know, that's not something they tell you about in journalism school.
Oh, man. But, yeah. Do you think that's dumb? I want to get your opinion on that before we get wrapping up.
What's that?
Starting the regular season, but not really.
I think it's cool doing stuff in Japan. I think that's
cool. I don't mind going to Japan. Like, I think that's neat, and I like the idea of, like, hey, here's a baseball game at 5 a.m.
Yeah,
I'm all for, like, we've talked about this before. I'm all for, like, sports at weird hours.
Yeah,
that's why I love the Olympics. I mean, I'll sit there and fucking watch, like, rowing at 4 a.m. It's like, why not?
Plus, nobody actually cares about baseball.
Yeah, baseball is like the one sport where you can do shit. Like, yeah, we'll send them to Japan for a
Let's
week.
Let's do it.
No, because there's so many games. It's like, well, if they waste a series after that, who cares? Like, here's some money. You know, you're gonna be really tired for 2 weeks. Get over it. Like NFL, I never get like the London game because it's like.
Yeah, people would actually like to watch good games. Why are you doing this?
I think they do it better now, though, because, like, the teams just, like, get into London and leave immediately. So, like, they just can't ruin their, you know, sleep cycles or whatever.
A lot of that, I feel like, is just, hey, let's try to convince team cities in America that we might move their team to this country where we absolutely will not move a team to.
Well, as an East Coast guy, though, I do like a football game being on at, like, 9 a.m. on Sunday. I think that's kind of cool. But, like, I could also just move to the West Coast. And that's your life. You know? So, I think that's it for me.
Yeah. Good show. Good show.
And, we nailed talked about all the sports.
All the sports have been discussed.
Yes.
And on that note, go Knights. And play the music, Jason.
Go Hornets.